Tony Broom Ministries presents the following message entitled, It Is Finished.
I'd like to read John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. It is finished. Jesus said those notorious words just before he died on the cross at Calvary. When he said, It is finished, you might say, What is finished? All of us could make a list. I'm sure we could. And our list would include different things. What would your list include about the things it is finished? Well, here are some obvious ones the Lord gave to me. When we use the word or name His, we're talking about Jesus. If I say His purpose or His coming, we're talking about Jesus. His purpose for incarnation. The word incarnation means He came. He came in the flesh. Jesus had a purpose for coming into the world. He had a purpose for coming in the flesh. And this purpose, when Jesus said those words on the cross, it is finished. That purpose was fulfilled. His purpose for coming into the world. He stood before Pilate, just there being tried and getting ready to be crucified. And Pilate was wondering what in the world to do. Will I release him? Will I let him go free? Will I crucify him? What am I going to do with Jesus of Nazareth? John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus said, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. This is the reason why he came. He prayed in the garden, Father, all things are possible to you. I know you can take care of things. I know you can handle things, Lord. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I know it's possible to let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. And he knew that he had a purpose. He knew that this was the reason that he came into the world. For this purpose was I born. Jesus was born for the very purpose of living the way he lived, doing the good things that he did, dying on the cross, paying that supreme sacrifice for our sins. That's why he came, and his purpose for incarnation, when he bowed his head and said, It is finished, and he gave up the ghost. That's the King James way of saying he died. And when he died and said, It is finished, his purpose for incarnation was fulfilled, and it was revealed. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. His performing of work on earth. When he said, It is finished, all of his earthly work was done. Everything that he came to do, he had done. In fact, he prayed that in John chapter 17, verse 4. He talks to the Father and he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus did everything that God wanted him to do. The Hemphills sung a song, Lord, don't let me leave behind an unfinished task. And I'm sure that all of us have tasks that are unfinished, things that we would like to do in life. And we are certainly not perfect. And we fall short and come short. And we sin and come short of the glory of God. But we don't want to leave behind things that are undone for the Lord. Jesus did everything that he was supposed to do. Was every single person on earth healed? Did he leave earth with nobody sick, nobody diseased? I don't think so. He healed all that he could, and the multitudes came to him, and he healed them all. But there were still sick people on the earth when Jesus was here. But all the work that he came to do, he healed all those that he was supposed to heal, everybody he could get to. And that's you and I. We can't get to everybody, but everyone we can get to, we are to try our best to reach them for the Lord. That's what Jesus did. Every day, he went out of his house and he did the Father's business. Every day he tried to please the Father, and he did please the Father. He said, I've finished the work which you gave me to do. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He saved the lost. All these things. And he told the Father. There again in that high priestly prayer in John 17, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. When he said it is finished, his earthly work was done. His passion and atoning sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. When he gave himself on that cross, and the scripture said, when he suffered, he threatened not. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And he took our sins in his own body. He bare our sins in his own body on the cross. That we, being dead to sins, that is, we get saved and we're dead to sins, we get sanctified, we should not live to ourselves, but we should live unto him. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. You can get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he will give you the power to live the Christian life. He will give you the power to overcome sin, by whose stripes ye were healed. He says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that was said in Isaiah chapter 53. He took our suffering, our sins, the chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and with his stripes we are healed. And here in Peter it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus came to save us. He came to heal us. He is the answer for sickness. He is the answer for virus. He is the answer for disease. They look for shots, they look for pills, and they look for vaccine, and they look for all these things that would be the answer. Jesus is the answer. He is a cure for cancer. He is a cure for lung disease and heart disease. He is a cure for high blood pressure. He is a cure for sin. He is a cure for everything. You don't have to look for a cure. All you've got to do is come to the Son of God, and he will forgive your sins and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are witnesses of that very fact that he has done that for us. And many times he has healed us. His passion and his atoning sacrifice. When he said, it is finished, that sacrifice was finished. That atoning sacrifice where he stood in our stead. I'll say it like this. He died in our stead and rose from the dead. When he died in our place, that atoning sacrifice for our sin, it is finished. And thank God, there is no more sacrifice for sin. You don't have to worry about anybody taking away your place in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to worry about anybody coming and stealing away your salvation. Your salvation is secure and you have it. And the only one that can forfeit it is you yourself. And you certainly don't want to do that. I certainly don't want to do that, because Jesus has come. He has given us life and he has healed us and he has blessed us. His atoning sacrifice, his plan to reach the world with the gospel. When he said it is finished, that plan was complete and set in place. And now we have what is called the Great Commission. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 28 to go and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach and teach and tell the world about Jesus and tell the world the good news. And that's what we can do today. You can be in your home. You can have to stay in your home. But there are ways to share the gospel and spread the gospel. And thank God for this opportunity that we can meet together. And the gospel can go beyond walls, it can go beyond barriers, it can go beyond denominations, it can go beyond countries. There's no limit to what God can do with his word. From Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When you said that to those 11 men, and Judas had already hung himself, so he was out of the picture, but when Jesus said that to those 11 men, it was seeming to be an impossible task. But look what they did, and look what we can do now. We can get on Facebook Live, on YouTube Live, or delayed recording video, Zoom meetings. There's all kind of ways that you can get the word out: radio, television, internet, newspaper, printed page, Gideon Bibles and other Bibles. There's all kind of way that the word of God can get out. And there's no limit. There's no limit. When Jesus said, go, and he said, it's finished. Now you go into the world and tell the good news. There's no limit to what God can do. There's no limit to this word. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This was God's plan. You start at Jerusalem. You go and get in the upper room. And you stay there till the Holy Ghost comes. And when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll be filled with power from on high. The promise of my Father will be upon you. And when the promise of my Father comes upon you, you'll have power to preach. You'll have power to teach. You'll have power to live the Christian life. You'll have power to reach the world with Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk around in fear. You don't have to hide behind a bush. Every time the devil says boo, every time he sends out a sickness, every time he sends out a disease, every time he tries to put fear on you, you don't have to run and hide, because Jesus said, I'll give you something, I'll give you someone that is greater than he that's in you, than he that's in the world. The greater one is the Holy Ghost. You go to Jerusalem and you stay there and you tarry there until the Spirit of God comes. And when the Spirit of God comes, you'll be filled with power. And when you are received the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be my witnesses. The power of God comes upon us and allows us and causes us to be a witness for Christ. And this is God's plan, that beginning at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. And thank God, the gospel has gone out throughout the world. From John chapter 20, verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The same way that the Father sent Jesus into the world, to do the Father's will, to perform the Father's work, that's the same way that Jesus sends us. Just like my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember, he says, I give you my peace I leave with you, my name is in you. And you go and reach the world for Jesus Christ. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. His perfect fulfilling of the law. Jesus said, don't think, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. The law is not done away with. Some people think, well, we don't have to worry about the law anymore. The law is not done away with. No, it's not done away with. It's even better than that. I can give you better than the law being done away with. I can do better than that. The law is not done away with. It's fulfilled. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets. That's the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. I did not come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And that's why he did. And that's what he did. When he said it is finished, all that is fulfilled. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All those things that kept us out from the presence of God, that we had broken God's law, that we had sinned against God, that we couldn't get to God with the veil and the laws and the stipulations and all those things that kept us away from God. It was a holy law presenting the holiness of God. But because we were so sinful and so carnal, Paul said, I was sold under sin. I was carnal. I was in the flesh, and it kept me away from God. And Jesus came, and all those ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Praise God, he didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. He took that and nailed it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. And the newer version said he made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled principalities and powers that day when he died on Calvary and said, "It is finished." All the hosts of hell, all the going to hell devils, all that was defeated. Satan himself is defeated because of those notorious words, "It is finished." And when Jesus died that day, he nailed all those things that kept us away from God. The veil in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and he nailed all those things that was against us and kept us away from God. He nailed it to the cross. His putting away of death. When he said, "It is finished," he did away with death. Now, people still die, but he conquered death. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Jesus came just like one of us, and he took part of the same things that we do. He was flesh and blood. We are flesh and blood. We have to die. He had to die. He took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We don't have to be afraid of death anymore, because Jesus said, "It is finished." And when he said, "It is finished," he conquered death forever. Praise God. Death has no more sting. Grave has no more victory. You say, "Well, what about the virus? What about the sickness?" We cannot lose either way. If a child of God gets sick and dies, or if they die by being taken home to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can't lose either way. We still are on the victory side. Yes, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he died. But that was not the end, really. It was only the beginning. They thought when Jesus died, "Oh yeah, we've got him now. We've conquered him. We've crucified him. He's dead. And that's it." But that was not it. That was not the end. It was only the beginning. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." You slew him and hanged him on a tree. But God raised him up for you, and he raised him up for me. And thank God, it is finished. Yes, it's finished, but it's not through. It's just started. Jesus is still Lord. God is still glorified. The Holy Ghost is still alive and well. God is able to do great and mighty things for us today. He's able to bless us and to take this word to the ends of the world, so people can be saved and born again. Father in heaven, I thank you for an opportunity to present this word to your people today. And I pray, Lord, that you would crucify the flesh in us. Let us say, "It is finished." And let us rise in power and glory to see the works of God, to see the power of God moving in our lives and the lives of people. May many people be born again and come into the kingdom of God. And may many people be touched and healed today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message entitled, "It is Finished." This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.